Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Tuesday, January 7th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Merton, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. It's another off week for the UFC, so not a ton of fight news to talk about. Obviously, no breakdown show this week with Cole. He'll be back next week with me. We'll break down UFC 246. That card's taking place next Saturday. It's crazy. Like, it's really snuck up on us, but there is another week break here, which is not a bad thing. I think we all need the break anyways. It's going to be a crazy year. Like, there's two events in January, and then there's like, I think, eight straight weeks with events. And then our next break's like the first week of April, if I'm not mistaken. So it's going to be crazy, guys. But, you know, we love fights, so it's all good. All right. So today, a couple of pieces of news here, and then a couple of fight announcements. Let's start with some news. Jorge Masvidal. He's made it clear he wants to fight Conor McGregor. He's not as interested in Usman as Usman seems to be. Usman posted a video yesterday. It was pretty funny of him knocking out Masvidal in the UFC video game, which I thought was hilarious. But, yeah, it looks like Masvidal wants McGregor. I can't blame him. He wants a money fight, you know. Masvidal's not a young guy in this game anymore. He's not, like, super old or anything, but he's not a youngin'. He's 35. So I think at this point he realizes, hey, I might as well make as much money as I can before I get out of this game. And – you know, I respect that about Masvidal. I respect that about any fighter that realizes that, hey, you know, this is the fight game, and we're prize fighters. We're here to make money, and we're here to make money while we can. These guys don't have long careers. Masvidal has actually had a long career. He's been around. He's been fighting since 2003 as a pro, so he's been around 16 years. How many more years does he have left? I mean, at this point, you think a few because he's looked amazing, but it's the fight game. So I can't blame this guy. He wants to cash in now while his name is hot. And McGregor fights the biggest fight out there. If McGregor beats Cerrone, like a lot of us expect next week, everyone's going to be calling him out. Gaethje, Masvidal. Even Usman's probably going to call him out. I think Usman would rather fight McGregor than Masvidal. McGregor's a bigger name. Masvidal's a big name, don't get me wrong, but McGregor's the biggest name out there. Everyone's going to be calling him out. I think Masvidal actually probably has an inside track, though, you know, because he is arguably the biggest star in the sport right now besides McGregor. So we'll see what happens. Again, a lot of this hedges on him, McGregor beating Cerrone next week. Cerrone goes in there and beats McGregor. That's going to take a lot of the luster away. But if McGregor has a comeback performance and knocks out Cerrone like a lot of us expect him to, it's going to look huge for him. So, I mean, it all hedges on that fight. I'm curious to see what happens next week. I'm excited for that card. That fight should be great. And we're going to know a lot more about McGregor's future after that fight. Heck, you know, considering Khabib and Ferguson are fighting in April, you know, there's a very good chance McGregor take fight in between. There's time. There's events that need a headliner. So, you know, he says he wants to fight three times this year. I think there's a good chance that happens. You know, as long as he stays healthy. And McGregor's not really a guy that gets hurt too often. Once in a, like, he has had some injuries once in a while, but not a guy that gets hurt that often. He fights often when he's healthy. The problem is the stuff outside the cage that has kept him out of it. But, yeah. You know, Masvidal wants that fight, and McGregor's made it clear in the past he wants that fight too. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I think if I'm a betting man, I would expect Masvidal to fight McGregor before he fought Usman. And speaking of McGregor, UFC and Reebok released his walkout shirt for UFC 246, and it's been getting roasted online by fans. It's pretty bad. It is pretty bad. And, you know, as soon as the Reebok deal was announced a few years ago, I didn't like it because I think it really took away personality for a lot of fighters. Like, I loved when guys used to walk out to like Bad Boy, like Bad, I'm a huge fan of Bad Boys. You guys know, you can see, I mean, Will, my friend, owns the company. And even before Will owned Bad Boy, like, I was wearing their clothing. When I used to train, I used to wear their clothing. I used to, you know, love their shirts. I remember when I had my smoker back in 2014. Well, it's been a long time, but yeah. I talked to the guys at Bad Boy. They sent me a pair of Gustafson's shorts. Cause I was like, can I buy these? Right. They're like, well, we'll send you a pair, his backup pair for the Matoshenko fight. I think that was at UFC 2, that was at 1, UFC 1, 41, I think. Is that the one? The Lesnar and Overeem card. Yeah, UFC 141. Okay, my memory served him right there, yeah. And on that card, Gustafson knocked out Matoshenko, and Bad Boy sent me either the backup shorts that he didn't wear that night, and I wore them for my smoker. And that didn't go too well, but that was a long time. Good memories. But, yeah, you know, I feel like the Reebok deal really took away a lot of the personality of the fighters because, again, you know, you think of guys like Chuck Liddell with the Iceman shorts. That's synonymous with him. Or Tito Ortiz with the Flame shorts. That's synonymous with him. So once they got rid of it, you know, even Bad Boy stuff like Anderson Silva, remember the Bumblebee shorts or Shogun with the white little tight shorts. Like, these were synonymous with these fighters. So once they got rid of that and made it Reebok, made it cookie cutter, I never liked that. I understand UFC wants to, you know, they wanted to sell themselves to a bigger company and Endeavor, WMEING, whatever you want to call it. And they bought it. And part of that was the fact they had a clothing deal. But man, the walkout shirts are bad. And this one is really bad too. So really no surprise there. But yeah, it's getting roasted online. I mean, I don't know anyone who would buy that shirt and want to wear it. It looks terrible. Let's switch gears here. USADA, they recently announced a new marijuana testing method. They're going to do oral fluid tests. And this should cut back on bad or negative testing that comes from like a past and previous use of marijuana. So like if a guy smoked weed a month ago, he won't get caught now because he shouldn't be getting caught because it's not banned in competition. It's banned out. It's not banned out of competition. It's banned in competition. Like you can't smoke up like the night of a fight or like an hour before a fight. But if you smoked like, you know, a week or a month before, like it, that doesn't affect you in a fight, you know? So finally, it looks like they're changing this. I mean, I feel bad for guys like Nick Diaz who were getting, you know, tested like crazy back in the day and he just spent it multiple times. You know, I'm not 100% sure when Nick smoked or whatever. I doubt it was like right before, if it's possible. I doubt it. I feel like it was, you know, metabolites that were just something. Like, remember Pat Healy? Pat Healy is the poster boy for this because he had smoked a joint. I remember felt so bad for Pat Healy. He smoked a joint at like a get together with his high school friends or something like that, like a month before his fight with Jim Miller back at UFC 159. He won fight of the night and he won, I believe, submission of the night as well. And yeah, he did get a double bonus that night and the UFC took it away from him because he failed his drug test for marijuana. And he lost $100,000, and I felt so bad for him. And he ended up losing four fights after that got caught. His career was never the same. And Pat's a really good guy, too. So that was awful. And it's just hard to see that happen to fighters. So I'm really glad that USADA is actually making an effort to change that test. And hopefully this oral fluid test goes a long way to helping these guys just, you know, avoid these stupid suspensions for stuff that really doesn't matter. Like, if you smoke a joint a month before a fight or a week before a fight or, heck, I mean, a few days before, that doesn't change, you know, how you're going to fight. So I don't believe it's a PED at all. And, you know, some fighters have made the argument that, you know, if you're smoking in training camp, it could help with your, you know, pain relief and stuff. Like there is that argument, I guess, but I personally don't agree with that. And I don't think it's a PED at all. Switching gears here, Bellator has made another signing here. Jordan Meehan is headed to Bellator and Aaron Bronster, my buddy, broke that news. And it's funny because I was talking to someone the other day about like Jordan Meehan. I'm like, what happened to Jordan Meehan? He hasn't fought in a while, and he signed with Bellator. So I like this signing for Bellator. I mean, listen, Jordan Meehan, first off, he was one of my favorite fighters coming up because he was a Canadian regional scene guy. I remember watching him. Actually, he was at the very first MMA card I ever saw in Ontario, MMA The Reckoning. That was the very first card here in my home province. He fought Josh Berkman on that card. He won a decision. And also on that card, Misha Serkinov fought on that card, a couple of UFC guys fought in that card, like Jason Young. He fought in the UFC for a while. He was on that card. So yeah, I've known about Jordan Meehan for years. And actually, he fought Rory McDonald in his MMA debut back in 2006 and when he was 16 years old and he lost by submission. He's been around forever. He actually has 43 fights and he's only 30 years old, which is insane. He's actually younger than me by a year and he has 43 fights, which is crazy, right? But the guy, you know, looked like an amazing prospect for a while, looked like he was going to be a big star and just never really panned out. Still a really good fighter for sure. He's actually coming off two straight wins to Alex Moreno and Eric Silva. Again, not the fighter that I thought we expected in the UFC. A lot of us thought he'd be a superstar almost, but never really turned into that. But still a solid fighter. He had a winning record in the UFC 5-4. A winning record in the UFC does mean something. So that's solid. Again, you know, some of his losses are fights that he could have won. Like the Thiago Alves fight, he was winning that whole fight and got kicked in the body and lost. It was crazy, right? That was 5 years ago, which is nuts. Time flies, right? But yeah, you know, I'm still a big fan of Jordan Meehan. And Bellator, I think it's a good spot for him. You know, he's not going to fight the killers he was fighting in the UFC for the most part. But there are obviously some big fights for him still in Bellator. I doubt they'll throw him in the fire with, you know, it's a top guy. In his first fight, he'll probably get like a layup fight, if I had to guess. But you know, don't be surprised if he does get matched up with a guy like Michael Page or even Paul Daly. Or Lawrence Larkin, former Strikeforce guy. Scott Coker knows Jordan Meehan from the Strikeforce days, and he'll match him up accordingly. But I do feel like they want to build his confidence back up a bit, and I expect him to fight maybe someone, honestly, a lot of us haven't heard of in his first fight in Bellator, but it won't be long until he's fighting those kind of guys like Paul Daly. I think that's a really good fight for both guys, and it'd be a fun one. So we'll see what happens here, but I like the signing. I think it's a good deal here between both sides, both parties. And, you know, again, you know, he signed with the UFC. He had high hopes. A lot of us did. We all thought he would honestly be a star in the sport, and he just never turned in that, but still a decent fighter for sure. All right, a couple fight announcements, and I'll get out of here. UFC Rio Rancho gets a really fun welterweight fight between Tim Means and Ramazan Ameev. I like this fight a lot. This is a fun one. You guys know Tim Means. You know, speaking of Jordan Means, he's one of my favorites. Tim Means, another guy I've loved forever, and he's very, very dangerous guy, obviously. Good striking, good ground game, very dangerous. Coming off a really nice win over Thiago Alves, who I just mentioned a few minutes ago by submission last month at UFC Washington, D.C. He did have that knockout loss to Nico Price earlier last year, but bounced back really nicely. And he takes on Ramazan Ameev here, who is actually coming off a loss to Anthony Rocco Martin, which was a bit surprising for some of us. I thought he would win that fight, but he ended up losing, which snapped a 7-fight win streak, but still a 3-1 record in the UFC, so a winning record. The guy's very dangerous. You know, I'd like to say I favor Tim Means in here, but Ameev is still a good fighter, so very close fight for sure. I think Means fighting close to home should help him. He's fighting in New Mexico, so that should help him, but definitely an interesting fight. And the other fight here is actually in Bellator 238. It's a really, really nice featherweight bout between Henry Corrales and Juan Archuleta. I like this fight a lot. Corrales coming off the loss to Darian Caldwell in the opening round of the featherweight Grand Prix that snapped a 5-fight win streak. But you can't forget that knockout win he had against Aaron Pico last year. It was a really good win. He also has some other good wins there, like Noed Lahad, Cody Bollinger, former UFC fighters. So, or the ultimate fighter, I guess, in Bollinger's case, but still decent wins. And then Juan Archuleta is coming off the loss to Pitbull, which obviously, you know, he didn't want to lose that fight, which snapped, and it was a huge win streak. I think he had like a 15-fight win streak or something crazy. Anyways, he ended up losing that fight, but still obviously a top guy in that division. So very close fight. I think you have to fear Archuleta, though, just because of the record, 23-2. I mean, that says something. Corrales' record isn't as good, but he's still a very dangerous guy. Very, very fun fight, though. And that card actually has a couple other fights that I haven't had time to talk about. Like Sergio Pettis is fighting on that card, and he's fighting someone named Alfred Kasakian, who actually was on Dynamo's Contender Series, and he was knocked by Sean O'Malley on that card on the Contender Series. So that's someone that's kind of a name, I guess, that I think Bellator expects Sergio Pettis to be. That's a bantamweight fight, by the way. Also, Raymond Daniels comes back on that card and competes in MMA against Jason King. Raymond Daniels, obviously a very well-accomplished kickboxer, and also married to Colby Northcutt, who is Sage Northcutt's sister. And as well on that card, Dylan Dan is against Keegan Genrich. Never heard of this guy. I'm assuming that Bellator wants Danis to win. Danis is probably going to beat this guy and then talk a lot of smack to guys like Kamaru Usman and stuff. This guy's annoying. And then also, of course, you got Bud versus Cyborg and Caldwell versus Borgs on that card. And you got Aaron Pico, Connie Gracie, AJ Agarizem, and Curtis Millenders in that card too. So that card's looking really, really good. Josh Barnett wanted to fight in that card. It's not going to happen, unfortunately. There's just not enough room. But yeah, very solid card, Bellator 238. That's later this month, January 25th. So there's some good fights coming up this month for sure. But again, we still have another week to go with really no fights. So that's going to be it for today's show, guys. Once again, thanks for tuning in to the podcast. You can check me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. And I'm always available at MMAoddsBreaker.com as well as MMARings.net and BJPenn.com. And over at MMARings.net, we have our year-end review for 2019. So if you want to go and check that out, a lot of the sites right now are doing their year-end reviews. And we did the same thing over at MMARings. So guys, once again, thanks for tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow for the Wednesday edition. No double podcast today. There's no card to break down. So just one podcast today, but I'll be back tomorrow morning. Guys, have a great day and see you tomorrow. Bye.